to announce before we get going, First Refuge Ministries. You know First Refuge is one of the ministries that we support every month. And if you have to get a thumbnail sketch of what they do, I don't know how what your elevator pitch is, but they bless our community and the needy in our community. And as you know, we'll be starting a we'll be with them. We're partnering with them to do a community garden down on the 15 acres at the bottom of our property. And so that's starting this year soon. Actually, they've already put work into it, and watch for a barn to be going up pretty quickly. When's that going to start?
This year.
So we're hoping to have a pumpkin patch this fall. And anyway, great stuff. And so this is Paul Juarez and his wife, Barbie. Yeah. And they're with us this morning to specifically invite you to their Sanger banquet on July 23rd at 6:30 at First Baptist Sanger, right? And Bob Smiley will be there. If you've heard of him, he's a speaker, an author, and comedian. He has a kids podcast that he does that I've heard is really funny. And so it's going to be great. And we would love for you to go. You can get information about tickets out there. Paul and Barbie will be out there. And we'll be glad to give you any information. Paul just got back from Promise Keepers, so you can trust him. It's going to be great. So so Friday, that's this Friday, or is it this Friday? The 23rd. And Christine and I are going. We'd love for y'all to join us. It'll be great. So check them out. Huh? You can get tickets online, DentonRefuge.org. You can pick up one of these out there, and that has everything on it for you. So there you go. All right, so last week we started this discussion of the Holy Spirit, and we read Paul's closing prayer when he wrote his second letter to the church in Corinth, and he closed it with a prayer. He said, it doesn't say may, but that's implied. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And we've been talking about, or we're talking about, the fellowship, what that means, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We all started out with the grace of the Lord Jesus. Pastor Jeff just described 21 kids met the grace of the Lord Jesus this week. One little girl came up to me, it was to Pastor Jeff, and I had a similar incident. She said, I love Jesus, I just don't want to do everything he tells me. And I'm like, you're going to be a great church member. I mean, join the rest of us. The grace of the Lord Jesus, our eyes open to the love of God, we see God's merciful hand and kindness on all these different facets of our lives as we grow in grace. But the next step is that we grow in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul was praying. I'm praying that you grow in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that Greek word, koinonia, has different, various shades of meaning. It means intimacy, it means partnership, and it means responsibility. And so we're going to be looking at those three things over the next couple of weeks, but today we're going to talk about the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. If you ever read the Message translation calls it intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. So Paul's prayer is that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the intimacy of the Holy Spirit, may that be with you all. And I pray that over you as well. So last week we talked about, I mentioned to you, tongue in cheek, that the Holy Spirit's preferred pronouns are he, him, and his. And it is hilarious, thank you. It's a funny joke. But it's a very important point. I think if you want to grow in intimacy with him and fellowship with him, and that is recognizing the fact that we're talking about the third person of the Trinity, the personhood of the Holy Spirit. John chapters 14 through 16. Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And in that passage, 20 times he refers to the Holy Spirit as a he or him. Okay? The Spirit is never referred to as an it. The Spirit is never referred to as a feeling. The Spirit is never referred to as the anointing. The Holy Spirit is he or him. He's a person. That's what's important. That's why it matters, because the Spirit is a real person, not an invisible, not an intangible, mysterious, ethereal, spooky, unknown quality. And I grew up in a church that liked the term Holy Ghost. And people are like, "You want to know the Holy Ghost?" And I'm like, "No, thanks. My experience with ghosts are not great." And so it's important that we rather come to an understanding of that the Holy Spirit is a person of the third person of the Trinity. Jesus said it this way: "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." That sounds like a person. Amen. If somebody's teaching you and reminding you, that's something people do. And so the Holy Spirit obviously is not a person in the same sense that you and I are a person. You can see me, you can touch me, you can feel me. The Spirit is a spirit, right? But he has taken on attributes of a human. And we might ask why in the world he would do that. He doesn't have to, but he's obviously, as a sovereign God, chosen to take on human attributes. And he's done so for one important reason. He wants us to know him and relate to him personally. If he takes on human attributes, then we can relate to him and he can relate to us. In the same way that Jesus actually took on flesh so that he could relate to us and we could relate to him, the Spirit has done the same thing, only in the attributes of a person. In fact, Paul, that's what Paul's talking about here. He says we can know him and we can know him intimately. And that's Paul's prayer for us, that we know the Spirit and we know him intimately. And so we'll talk about more about that in the weeks to come. But I think understanding the Spirit of God as the third person of the Trinity is the first step in learning to fellowship with him. Almost 29 years ago, I married a person. I did not marry an it. I would have no idea how to be married to an it. I have a hard time being married to a woman sometimes, but I wouldn't know the first thing about being married to a non-person. I can be married to a person. We can talk. We can listen to each other. We can spend time together. We can laugh together. We can cry together. We can go through difficult times together, wonderful times together. We can get to know each other better every day. The reason we can do that, the word is relationship. We have a relationship. It's a growing. It's a giving. It's a taking. It's a relationship. It's a back and forth, and we're both involved in it. The same is true in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He remains the invisible God. So he might be sitting in front of you, you wouldn't see him. Actually, Jesus tells us that he's in us, and we'll talk about that later. But he's the invisible God, so we don't see him, but Jesus tells us he's still a person. He's a him, and he says we can talk to him, we can listen to him, we can spend time with him, we can share our deepest fears, our greatest joys. He shares God's word with us. He helps us understand God's word and helps us, as he said to the disciples, he'll teach you all things. He'll remind you of everything that Jesus has said. And so I love him and I grow in love with him. Amen. More and more. Amen. As I get to know him. The reason is because it also is a relationship. That's why it's important to understand that the personality of the Holy Spirit. I think the early church knew that about him. One of the reasons the early church is so different than the churches today is because of the intimacy they had in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. They knew him at a level we don't know him. And it's not intended to be that way, but it's the fact of it. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3, here's a cool verse. It says, as they were worshiping this, and the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. And then afterwards they fasted and prayed, and they laid hands on them and sent them off. The Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul. And then two chapters over, chapter 15, verse 28, they're having this big discussion in Acts chapter 15 about what Gentiles need to do to come to faith. Do they need to practice Jewish things or whatever? And verse 28 says, for it was the Holy Spirit's decision and ours not to place further burdens on you beyond these requirements. Okay? So it's, and it doesn't talk. And it doesn't make decisions. But people do. And so the church didn't have an intellectual knowledge of the Spirit. They had a relationship with the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit said something, they heard it and did it. When the Holy Spirit made a decision, they concurred. They knew him. They walked with him. So the question then for us is, all right, how do we do that? How do we gain a more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit? I think it begins with prayer. And by taking Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6 seriously. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, and you'll recognize this passage. It's the it's the Sermon on the Mount. And in particularly in verse 5, beginning in verse 5, is Jesus' teaching on prayer. He says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Okay, so this particular section of the Sermon on the Mount is one of my favorites. If you look in, at the beginning of chapter 6, he's talking about giving. And he's like, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. In other words, give in secret. The Father who sees in secret will reward you. And Jesus' point is to those who are listening to him at the Sermon on the Mount, stop being so religious. You don't need to be religious. Be generous because you're generous. Because you want to bless someone else. Because God's blessed you and you want to bless someone else. Don't give so that people will see it and sing your praises. And then he says, related to prayer, he says, pray because you want to pray. Pray because you have a desire to talk to God. Not that you want to be seen by others and thought of as holy and wonderful and all that kind of stuff. But pray because you want to talk to God. And so in his discussion here on prayer, he says, go to your private room and shut the door. Now, the old versions, the King James Version says, go to your closet. How many of you have heard of a prayer closet? You still use that term sometimes? I know some people that use it all the time. That's where that came from. I got to tell you, though, I was disappointed. Remember when that movie came out called War Room? I didn't know it was a movie about prayer. I thought we were going to see a war movie, and I got tricked into it. Actually, it was a great movie about the power of prayer, but still there was no fighting. I mean, like physical fighting. So anyway, he says, go into your closet, go into your room, and shut the door. Now, that Greek word, temion, is a pretty old word that describes a secret place where you would hide your valuables. And so you could think of the idea of a safe or a safe deposit box or wherever you want to keep your most valuable things, men, your gun safe, something like that. And really important place, and it was almost always under lock and key. And you just don't let folks traipse through it. It's private. By the time of the New Testament, temion came to be used as the word for bedroom. Okay, so it originally began as this super secure, safe place, and over time it became known as the regular word for bedroom, a secret place where a treasured relationship takes place between a husband and a wife. Their intimate conversations, their intimate moments that belong just to them, to no one else. The secret place. It's the safest place. It's the most intimate place. It's the closest place. And I think that's the idea that Jesus is trying to share with us or convey with us in regard to intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Our relationship with the Spirit of God should be so tender and intimate and honest and real and special, and it belongs only to us. It's not for the world. It's for us. It's beautiful. Jesus lived this out. Jesus often would, the scriptures would, gospels describe him getting up early in the morning and going out to pray. He preferred mornings and he preferred mountains. We don't have any mountains around here. I don't necessarily prefer mornings. I do morning prayer because, you know, I got to get up. I got to work. And so we got to take the dogs for a walk. And my preferred prayer time, or at least the beginning of it, is when I'm walking dogs through the woods early in the morning. Jesus liked to pray alone. He liked early mornings and he liked mountains. But there's no one right place or one right time for prayer. But you and I should find something that works for us every day and pray to God through the Holy Spirit and develop that intimacy, develop that intimate relationship with God's Spirit. So when he says something, we hear it. When he decides something, we concur. Now listen, I know you're busy. I'm busy. We all say, well, we don't have time. But here's the thing. My kids make fun of me because I got a new phone and it's awesome. I got more technology on my phone than they had on the first moon landing. But I can barely text. And my selfies are the worst. Anyway, important stuff. But somehow it pops up. I never asked for it, but every week it shows up. There's this report of how much time I wasted on social media and how much time I spent reading the news and how much time I spent listening to podcasts. So there's time. You just got to make a priority of it. And my suggestion is that if it was a priority for Jesus to have an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God, then it should be a priority for us as well. And so I don't remember all I was going to say, but Chris and I were talking about it after the Robeson congregation, and a lady came up and said, well, can I pray to the Spirit? I've been told I can't pray to the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, the Holy Spirit is God, right? And so when you're praying to God, you're praying to the Holy Spirit. When I read the Bible and I say, Lord, help me understand this, I'm talking to the Spirit of God who teaches me everything and reminds me of everything that Jesus has done. And if you are seeking an intimate relationship and you want to hear the Spirit's voice say, do this, don't do this, then you need to talk to him. Not to mention the fact that the Spirit of God, Jesus said, is with you and in you. And so when we're praying, the whole conduit of prayer is the Spirit of God. And so it's okay to pray to Jesus. It's okay to pray to the Father. It's okay to pray to the Spirit. Okay? And if you don't know who to pray to, just pray to God. And an angel will take that prayer and he will put it in the right box, the mailbox. So don't have to worry about it. Okay. Was that all I was going to say about that? That's all you told me to say. Okay. We're teasing. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. So Jesus made it a priority to spend time praying to the Father through the Spirit of God. Several times in the Gospels, it tells us the Spirit led Jesus here, the Spirit led Jesus there. And so he had this intimacy with the Spirit of God. So Jesus knew when the Spirit was leading. And sometimes I think my relationship with the Holy Spirit is like Balaam's donkey. And the donkey knows exactly what's going on, and I don't see the angel at all. And the donkey's smarter than me. But Jesus knew what was going on, and he could follow the Spirit's guidance because he had an intimacy with the Spirit of God. And what that did for him was that sustained him in his ministry. That story of Jesus in the hold of the boat sleeping while the storm comes and all the disciples, who are professional fishermen and sailors, by the way, and they're freaking out thinking they're going to die, and Jesus is just sleeping right through it. And they're like, don't you care about us? And his point was, I just ministered to a huge group of people. I just preached and taught the word of God, and it drained him physically. It drained him emotionally. It drained him spiritually. And so he was taking a nap. I get it. I like Sunday naps as well. But the way that he was sustained in ministry, the way he could get up and do it the next day, is because of the fact that when he got up in the morning the next day, he went out early and prayed. And he had power then to go on throughout the day. Paul also was sustained by the power of prayer. And so that's what I wanted to share in Philippians chapter 1:19 as the last point here. Almost. Paul wrote to the Philippians. It was a very difficult time. He was writing from jail. Okay? And so that's number one. He's in prison because he refuses to quit preaching the gospel. And what was worse was while he's in jail, he has rivals that are now preaching some a true gospel, some a false gospel, but most of them all slandering him because there's nothing he can do about it. Okay, he's been suspended from Twitter, and they're all over the place letting him have it. And he can't do anything about it. He's in jail and stuck, and he's in a low place. And he says, and he writes to the Philippian church, he said, because I know this will lead to my salvation. He's not talking about spiritual salvation, but his release from prison, his deliverance from prison. I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, that word help, sometimes it's translated as supply. Supply from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But it's an interesting word. It has a very interesting history. It's a compound word. It's epikorego. And it literally means on behalf of the choir. Epi means on behalf of or for, and chorego means choir. It's where we get the word choreography from. And so, literally, Paul says, because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and on behalf of the choir from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, that's weird. That is a weird sentence. But there's a story behind it. So, thousands of years ago in classical Greece, There was a choir and drama troupe that put together this super important theatrical performance. Tons of planning and practice and expense, and then they were ready to take the show on the road, and they ran out of money. And so they had dedicated everything. They had dedicated their time and energy and emotion. They were committed to succeed. But the show was a flop before it even got started because they ran out of funds. They couldn't take the show on the road. And so I wonder if you ever feel that way. That you've given yourself so completely to something that you feel like you've literally given it your all. And you've been super committed, you're deeply committed to something that in the end, you just don't think you have the strength to finish. Or you run up against a dead end, a brick wall, that you didn't see coming, and you're just stuck. Meredith mentioned today that one of our sweet church members passed away yesterday. Our family's at that brick wall. They're at the end. They've been fighting and fighting and fighting for over a year, and very difficultly for the last month and a half. And they're at the point, there's nothing left. I just checked the tank. It's empty. You ever get there? I know you've been there. I know we all get there. And so I think that's a great analogy of our spiritual life sometimes. It seems like we just got no more to give. Maybe you're in a marriage that I've tried. I've got nothing left. There's nothing left to give. Maybe your kids have exasperated you, and you just can't figure it out. Maybe it's your workplace, and things aren't working out the way you thought they would or the thought they should. Anyway, at that, we begin to wane. We begin to wane physically. We begin to wane emotionally and spiritually and mentally. Paul describes it as sometimes as growing weary in well-doing. Just worn out. Well, that's what happened to this choir, right? So they were at a dead end, no funds. That meant no show. After all that work they'd put into it, now they couldn't do it at all. Their practice and energy was wasted. It was the end of their dream, or so it seemed. And that's when, at that moment, a wealthy man heard about it. He heard about their predicament. He heard about the show, was interested in it, but heard they couldn't do anything. And so he stepped into their lives, and he made a sizable donation, epikorego, on behalf of the choir. That's what he wrote in the memo of the check. Not really, it wasn't a check, but it was probably a bank note, and he wrote it on there. And it said, this donation is on behalf of the choir. And that's how the word began. It was the amount that they needed, plus, in fact, the choir couldn't spend all the money that that guy gave. It was over and above what they needed. But that's why Paul chose this word. And so you and I read it says the help of the Holy Spirit. But Paul chose this word because Paul was at a dead end in his life. He was spent. He was worn out. He was at the end of his rope. He had nothing left to give. He couldn't do anything about his situation. But the Philippians prayed for him. And more importantly, Jesus stepped into his life and his prison cell and made an overwhelming contribution of the Spirit of God's grace and power into his life. And you may need that today. Amen. Yes. I'm preaching to the choir. Get it? On behalf of the choir. God wants to give you an overwhelming contribution of the Holy Spirit. Not just enough to get you through. Not just to get you by. But more than enough of the Spirit in your life to get you through that place where you can pick up where you left off, where the dead end turns into a way that you didn't see. Jesus told his disciples, he is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. The world doesn't receive the Holy Spirit, can't receive the Holy Spirit, because they don't know him. But you and I can know him. And the reason we can know him is because he's not only with us, he is in us. And so you may feel like you're at a point in your life where you're at a dead end or you have no more to give. You may be, we talked about it last week, sometimes we're in church and we think, man, I'm the only one here that hadn't figured this Christianity thing out. And we don't talk about it because we're embarrassed, because we look around us and we think, boy, everybody else got it figured out. I'm just the only dumb one here. Well, that's okay. That's when Jesus steps in and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit picks up where we leave off. And he makes this overwhelming contribution of the Spirit to us to help us finish. Paul says, I'm sure of this, he who started a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ. So if you feel like you're at the end and you can't finish what God's told you to start, seek the Spirit to make an overwhelming contribution into your life, because God wants you to finish what he started. He started good work in you, and he wants it carried out to completion. The problem with most of us, if we're honest, and you have to be honest because you're in church, and you went to Promise Keepers, so you better be honest. The problem with us, if we're honest, is that we don't have an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God. Okay? The grace of the Lord Jesus, got it. The love of God, got it. Intimacy of the Holy Spirit, not so much. And the reason for that, my guess is, for most of us anyway, is that we lack the quality time with the Lord necessary to receive that fellowship, that relationship, the growth of relationship, the spiritual infusion of power that Paul talks about there. But I'll tell you, if you will make time for fellowship with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to become your intimate partner in life and your friend, he will fill you with that strength you need. He did Jesus. He did Paul. He did, the early church walked in power because they knew him. They could hear him. And that's why our daily time with the Lord is so important. And Jesus, I think, would say, listen, stop thinking of prayer as a religious duty. Okay? Think of it rather as cultivating a friendship. Getting to know someone. Talking, hanging out. And we have to learn how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit so that his power can work in us and through us. And so, as we were talking about a moment ago, so we can be sustained during the difficult times as well. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit's not an it. If he's just an invisible, unknowable, mysterious part of God, then if he's just goosebumps, if he's just the anointing, he's just a chill down the spine, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to experience fellowship with a feeling, with an emotional high, with goosebumps. But if he's a person, not only can you know him, you will know him because he's with us and in us. The world can't receive him, but you and I can. We can know him because he's with us and he's in us. And we could be like those apostles in Acts. When the Spirit said something, we heard it. When the Spirit decided something, we did it. So next week we're going to talk about partnership, how the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, empower us, coach us, help us, comfort us throughout our life. All of those things we need, right? We need to be led, we need to be coached, we need to be empowered, we need to be comforted. And that partnership's available to us, but we first have to know the Spirit of God intimately. We got to know him. So when he tries to coach us, we can hear him. When he tries to comfort us, we can listen. And so this is my prayer for you as we close this morning. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the intimacy of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Father, we worship you this morning. And thank you for sending us another comforter to empower us, to partner with us, and to walk us through life. And we want to be like that church in Acts. When you say something, Spirit of God, we want to hear it. When you decide something, we want to concur with you. And so that comes when we have a relationship, an intimate relationship with you. So this week, Lord, I'm asking that you would help us set aside time every day to grow in intimacy with you. And Lord, that you would speak to us and you would show us and you would encourage us this week. And we'd recognize that it's not nearly as difficult as we thought it would be, because you are ready, willing, and able to communicate with us because you want to partner with us. And so, Lord, help us have that intimate relationship. Thank you. God, give us opportunities this week to follow you, to hear your voice. I want to thank you once again, Lord, for VBS and what you've done there. Thank you for all the workers that served and sacrificed. Thank you for the children that came. Lord, grow those seeds in them that have been planted. Lord, thank you for the harvest that we had. Lord, thank you today for First Refuge Ministries. Ask for your blessings on them, that you'd meet every one of their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And do the same with us, Lord. Be with those in our church, several families that are grieving. May your church rise up and minister to them. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry to them. We close by proclaiming your greatness, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. We would love to minister to you. We have prayer teams up front. If you're online, call 222-2627-940. And someone will be there to answer the phone and pray with you as well. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. Don't forget to stop out and meet with First Refuge before you leave.